have a long life. I could completely satisfy all the outer and inner hindrances, grant such inspiration. So first we'll do the ceremony for bodhicitta. So I have nothing special to say. So averting birth into lower realms and leading one to higher realms. So as Chandideva makes prayer to Bodhicitta and says that which intelligent one would feel despair to ride the horse of Bodhicitta which leads one from bliss to bliss. So the highway that leads one to the omniscient state of Buddhahood is Bodhicitta. And so just as this prayer is made, may I generate Bodhicitta. We have found this human life now. And if we train our mind through reason, and this bodhicitta, which holds others more dearer than oneself, if we could train in this and transform our mind gradually, then this bodhicitta, by which someone gains the name bodhisattva, so this bodhicitta can be attained by us through training. And so Buddha and all the great masters of the past have found a human body, and the Buddha himself actually assumed the Buddha's deed of attaining enlightenment in this human body. And so he used this human, the human body that he found, in the correct way, and the followers of the Buddha also did the same. So regarding us, unless we do train ourselves, apply ourselves to the path, we have also found the same body as the Buddha Shakyamuni himself and the master as Nagarjuna, Sangha, and so forth. The same body. So, and then we have met with the Dharma, and it's very difficult to find this human body again and again. So having found this kind of human life, precious human life, and meeting with the right practitioners and meeting with the right Dharma, so we have all the right facilities. So, therefore, there is nothing greater that we could actually cultivate than bodhicitta in such when we have all these facilities and conditions. So we have gone through the benefits and the how to train in bodhicitta in Lamrim Chemu and the middle and Lamrim. So just have a clear idea of bodhicitta, its benefits, and how to train in them in your mind. And here, if you could generate bodhicitta, generate bodhicitta with in front of a guru, then you have a witness for going through this. You'll be able to say, oh, at such and such time, I actually took this bodhicitta and made the pledge to keep it. And you'll also feel encouraged to practice and cultivate bodhicitta and do the practices likewise. So as far as I'm concerned, I have took bodhicitta, generated bodhicitta from Jitjar Rinpoche in Tibet, based on the Lamrim by the 5th Dalai Lama, and also the path of bliss. So, of course, as a child, I have taken generated bodhicitta, and I also took bodhicitta, participated in bodhicitta ceremony with Jitjar Rinpoche and Ling Rinpoche. So I requested Ling Rinpoche to take the generate bodhicitta in front of inside the Mahabodhi stupa in Bodh Gaya, and then after he took it, then I took bodhicitta from him as well. And so I usually make an earnest determination in generating bodhicitta on a daily basis. So if we have time, we could do the bodhicitta ceremony. So if I have time, I do the bodhicitta ceremony. And as it is said in the basic path, of bodhisattvas, and also take the tantric vows. So today we'll do the ceremony for aspiring bodhicitta, based on the ritual, as it is said in the Abhisamaya Alamkara and Mahayana Uttara Tantra by Maitreya. Just imagine the Buddha Shakyamuni in person here. So as Lama Tsongkhapa says, just forming the image of a Buddha in my mind gives me a great joy and relief. And so you should imagine Buddha Shakyamuni actually in person, and also the great bodhisattvas such as Maitreya, Manjushri, the Samantabhadra, and so forth, who are in the form of deities. So we, of course, there are these great texts written by Maitreya and Nagarjuna, then Aryadeva, his spiritual son, Buddha Palita, and Bhava Viveka, Chandrakirti, Shandideva, the great bodhisattva, and so forth, who are the holder of the profound lineage of the Middle Way. And also imagine Chandrakshita. And then we have the extensive path lineage, beginning with Asanga, Vasubandhu, and then also Vibhuktisena Gaman, and so forth. And also Dignaga, the master Dignaga, Dharmakirti. In other words, the great masters of the great Nalanda, the great institution, which actually upheld the Buddha Dharma for centuries. And then during the later dissemination of Buddhism in Tibet, when Buddhism was revived inside Tibet, and the Indian masters like Master Adisha, who came to Tibet, and similarly, we have during the masters such as Guru Padmasambhava during the earlier dissemination of Buddhism in Tibet, and then the great masters of the Nyingma tradition, and Indian masters also. The great Mahasiddhas like Saraha, Drambipa, Delopa, Naropa, and their lineage holders. And so we also imagine the Nyingma masters and Kadam masters. And then the five patriarchs of the Sakya lineage, the five, and also the Lamde masters of Tsokshe and Lobshe, and then the Kagyu masters. And within the Kagyu, we usually there are the four major and eight minor ones, so the masters of all these traditions, and then also the Chonangpa tradition, masters of the Chonang tradition. And then within the Kadam lineage, we have the Kadambas of the Lamrim lineage, scholastic lineage, and also instruction lineage. And then in the new Kadam tradition, we have Master Tsongkhapa, and Jitun Sherab Singh, the traditions coming from the Jitun Sherab Singh and the Segyu lineage. And then imagine your own masters from with whom you have direct Dharma connection. And similarly, imagine the great Bodhisattvas who are on the Bodhisattva grounds. And also, if it's convenient for you to imagine, you should also imagine the deities of the Tantra classes. When we talk about bodhicitta, generating bodhicitta, you should particularly think about those beings who are without protector, without help, who, even though they want happiness, they destroy the cause of happiness as if destroying their own enemies, and who, even though do not want suffering, they actually run after the causes of suffering. And so when you think about this condition of all sentient beings, it makes you feel sorrow, doesn't it? So although they don't want suffering, they actually make their practice what is actually the cause of suffering. And so all these poor sentient beings, with whom, of course, we have connection, karmic connections. So as I said before, if you reduce selfishness and dedicate yourself for the well-being of others, then you will actually fulfill your own goal. Therefore, bodhicitta, which actually is the path which leads you to omniscience, if you actually can dedicate yourself, this is what you should dedicate yourself to. And if you have some intelligence, you should actually apply that to this bodhicitta. So, of course, our life is very uncertain. And so what you should think is to make this life meaningful. So just to actually remind yourself of all this, you should imagine all the sentient beings around you, and imagine them, the six types of sentient beings, actually undergoing their own respective sufferings of hell, realm, and so forth, although you may imagine them as human, in the form of humans. And so for this bodhicitta, the generation of bodhicitta will do the seven limb practice. So if we could, we should do it by using the text of Chandideva. Tep tangbu diwe Lamrim tep tangbu diwe injina Sipa shayin ba shar Dina yordu Na mindu
Malu ba tamche Kya wa ta ke Kong war me te Tar ma ba Mi se kya zo Nam yang ke Yen la kya zu Da ku Kya wa ku ke Jingde war shikpa tamche da ke tu me to tamba chingwa tam Singye nam ta chupa tu cho tam mar me cho tam tu pe tamba Kya wa de da la ne che bar ke na sa tamba nam ta chi cho tam che ma kumari rab nyam Tūpē kē parpā pē chūkūn kī gāwā tētā lā nē chūpā Chūpā kūnam lā mē kā chē wā tētā gāwā tam chē lā yā mē sāmbō chē lā tē pē tō Gāwā kūn lā chā sē chūpā kē tū chā shē tāng tī mū Le tang wa tang de xin yi jia yang de fa da yi de bu ji shi De da tang jie da yi su su sha chun ji jia wa kun tang suan jie se rung jie nung tang lo tang li lu Zho wa kun jie su nam kang la yang te ta kun jie jie su da Kaṇam ca 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 ten tu ma ta caṇ ca vrim par saṅgye ma ca Kumbha te ta ta ge tam ca la kurla la na me pa Nyāngyāng ta ten kaṇ she te ta la dro va kun la pin shin de Gel par shin ge dun ye shu par yang ta ge Chance wa tan chu chi sha wa ta Chu shi so wa ke chi so ba tum chi do re chan chu chi
So as an offering, making offering, prayer for making offerings, we'll do the part, the prayer which is done exclusively in the context of Sutrayana. Ish a bit. So the verse, literally, if I translate, says this edible is offering a dog which has 100 tastes and is attractive. I offer this to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas with great devotion. And may, through this merit, all sentient beings enjoy the food of concentration. So this is part of the So what we did was part of the Bodhicitta ceremony, for which we have to collect merit and purify negativities. So now, fourth Bodhicitta's, a generation of Bodhicitta's, let's say a mandala offering, one verse mandala offering. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, and adorned with Mount Meru for continents, sun and moon, I imagine as a Buddha fit. Buddha land and offer to you, may all beings enjoy in this pure land. Dajilumbu kembo mare. Radu Kenbo, Radu Kenbo, Abbot Nikki. Bhardo Dhamma is a haiku for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the virtuous merit created by listening to the Dharma, may I attain the state of Buddha to benefit all migrators. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the virtuous merit created by listening to the Dharma, may I attain Buddhahood to benefit all migrators. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the virtuous merit created by listening to the Dharma, may I attain Buddhahood to benefit all migrators.
Jana jomo chimra dolo de so 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 de so
I pay homage to the Gautama who, out of his compassion, taught the holy Dhamma to Riyas of all wrong views. So, regarding, I have already explained about the benefits of bodhicitta. So, mainly what we should do is to train our minds in bodhicitta in stages. So whatever spiritual realization you develop, first of all, you have to know it and then understand its meaning and then give thought to it. Firstly, you may have some kind of a superficial understanding, but then you will develop, by reflecting on it, you will develop understanding drawn through reflection. You gain certitude in it. When that happens, then you reach a stage where you feel that you could actually develop that experience within yourself. And then if it is an experience that has to be actually become the subjective aspect of experience, you actually develop that compassion and so forth, like that. Whereas if you actually just take on the aspect of an object and actually gain insight into it, for example, experience of emptiness, then of course, these gradually develop through your training of your mind. And after having developed the experience, which depends on some effort, then when you further push yourself by accumulating merit and purifying negativities, and then think about those practices, and then the experience will rather come to you rather effortlessly. Whether developing compassion and so forth, which are the subjective aspects of the experience, and or developing the objective aspects of the experience of the objective aspects of those practices. So this happens. So with regard to generating bodhicitta, Jerome Buche says, you should first understand, know the benefits, the great qualities of it, and then put effort. So after having put some effort and you are almost able to beset your mind on it, then when you begin to have the experience of bodhicitta, then Jerome Buche says you have to make a pledge to keep this aspiring bodhicitta. So unless you have bad knees, the rest of you please kneel on your right knee or crouch. So the master, myself, is like a messenger. Mainly, as I introduced earlier, you should imagine all the lineage masters, from Buddha Shakyamuni down to your own root gurus, with whom you have direct Dharma connection. And then we have Chinese people from Chinese audience here, and you can imagine Chinese masters like Tang San Lama, And then the other countries like Vietnam and Japanese and Japan, where Buddhism spread mainly from through China, and there may be cases where Buddhism teachings spread directly from India, as some say. And so imagine all the great masters of your own countries of the Dharma. Please repeat this. Master, please think of me. Jidang Wengji. Just as all the Buddhas, Namtang, Chenpo Namgi, just as the former perfect Buddhas who are the Tathagatas and Arhats and the great Bodhisattvas on the high levels initially generated spirit of unexcelled perfect enlightenment, please, O Master, help me. Please say your name here. Help me to generate the spirit of unexcelled perfect enlightenment. Please help me to generate the spirit of unexcelled perfect enlightenment. Help me to generate the spirit of unexcelled perfect enlightenment. So this is done. Next is the actual generation of bodhicitta. So before doing that, you should have taken you should take refuge in the unique Mahayana way of taking refuge, where you take refuge in the resultant Buddhahood and the Sangha. You should remind yourself of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind, the qualities of the Buddha's speech and body, speech, and mind. As Maitreya says, we all have, we actually, the enlightened body of the Buddhas radiate, as he says. So what that means is all the enlightened activities of the Buddhas actually radiate towards the sentient beings. Another interpretation is that we have the potential for attaining the four Buddha bodies. The substantial cause is there within ourselves. So this so what Maitreya says in Mahayana Uttara Tantra, this verse is similarly, the same verse is in Abhisamaya Alamkara as well. So there may be two different interpretations of the same verse. That what this means is that we have the potential, the seed for enlightenment, to attain the four Buddha bodies. Tathagata. So there is no samsara and nirvana. So what is nirvana is just as the mind becomes the cause for samsara, where we have the environment and the beings living in it. Likewise, when the mind is free of all these defilements that are within our mind stream, then you reach nirvana. So in other words, on the basis of the Buddha nature, in terms of the Buddha nature, there is no difference between the emptiness of the mind of sentient beings and the Buddhas. So you can think in terms of the Buddha nature, or you can think in terms of the potential that we have, the seed for the four Buddha bodies, which is according to the highest Yoga Tantra. So in other words, we have the potential or the seed for attaining four Buddha bodies, and therefore what we are seeking from the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas is that we wish to actually become like you, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, by overcoming all the defilements that cover the Buddha nature that I have, and so that I may realize the Mahayana path, the true path and true cessation of the Mahayana path, thereby becoming a Mahayana Sangha, and through that I ultimately to become a Buddha. And therefore, since we all have the Buddha nature, we, unlike others, we have met with the conditions to actualize or to make this potential manifest, to realize the goal that we seek. And therefore, under such condition, you take refuge in the Buddha, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. You know, O Master, please listen to me. Say this, I say your name. From now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the Bhagavan Buddhas, supreme among beings. O Master, please listen to me. I say your name. From now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the best of teachings, the teachings of peace free from attachment. O Master, please listen to me. I say your name here. From now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the best of assemblies, the member of the community of common noble bodhisattvas who are irreversible. So this has to be repeated two more times. O Master, please listen to me. I say your name here. From now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the Bhagavan Buddhas, supreme among beings. O Master, please listen to me. I, from now on until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the best of teachings, the teaching of peace free from attachment. O Master, please listen to me. I say your name. From now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the best of assemblies, the members of the community of noble bodhisattvas who are irreversible. O Master, please listen to me. I, from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the Bhagavan Buddhas, supreme amongst beings. O Master, please listen to me. I, from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the best of teachings, the teachings of peace free from attachment. O Master, please listen to me. I, from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the best of assemblies, the members of the community of noble bodhisattvas who are irreversible. So this is the unique way of taking refuge, according to the Mahayana tradition, the unique Mahayana way of taking refuge. So let's say this verse together. Please sit. So imagine all the merit fields. Let's say this prayer through the prostration, making offering, confession, and rejoicing. Requesting not to pass away, turn the wheel of the Dharma. May the merit gain through this add to for me to attain the perfect enlightenment. So whatever merit I have gained through making prostrations, making offerings, confession, rejoicing, and requesting the Buddhas not to pass away, turn the wheel of the Dharma. Dedicated for my enlightenment, perfect enlightenment. So with regard to bodhicitta, all happiness in the world come from wishing others to be happy. All suffering come from wishing oneself to be happy. So this is something we do not need to prove through reasonings. This is something that we know from our own day-to-day life. It's experience. So if you think, if you are dedicated, totally dedicated to the welfare of other sentient beings, then there is no reason to feel fear and anxiety, which mostly come from in relation to other sentient beings. For example, if with regard to jealousy, you are not jealous in relation to something that is inanimate, but in relation to something that is animate. And the sense of competition also happens in relation to other sentient beings. And when you have someone with whom you have jealousy and competitive feeling, then you have anxiety and fear. And accordingly, then you, what you do is you harm them, you bully them, you deceive them, and you also indulge in hypocrisy. So these are all because of selfish motive, holding on to yourself as more important than others. So, and this is because of holding oneself as dearer than others. So of course, you are dear and precious, but if you could actually dedicate yourself to attain Buddhahood, then you what you should do is actually develop love and compassion towards others. So otherwise, you engage in all these non-virtuous, the 10 non-virtuous actions of killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, committing sexual misconduct, and lying and so forth. So as Shantideva says, you should engage in the secret practices. This is what he means. The bodhisattvas are very wise people who are able to fulfill their own interest as well as the interest of others, whereas we do the opposite. Although we want happiness, we actually create causes for suffering. So it's like voluntarily wishing to have suffering. So Shantideva says, what needs is there to say more? Just look at the difference between the childish who think of only themselves and the Buddhas. So the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and so forth have become the objects of refuge for us because they dedicated themselves for the well-being of others and beings like us. And therefore, they have attained the Mahayana true cessation by applying the true path of Mahayana and became Mahayana Sangha and ultimately becoming the Buddha Mahayana. So it is the bodhicitta which is the root of all these attainments, ultimate attainment of Buddhahood. As in Lama Chöpa it says, may I be able to equalize and exchange myself and others by understanding the childish manner of selfishness, engaging in selfish conduct, and the Buddhas who have dedicated themselves for the well-being of others. So imagine that you are going to take part in this bodhicitta ceremony in front of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas that you have imagined in the space before you. And you have imagined that you are here taking it from the Lama who is serving as the messenger of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and all of them are witness to your generating bodhicitta through this ceremony. So please kneel on your right knee. Thank you. So with regard to these lines, I will liberate all beings who are not liberated. I will free all who are not freed, and I will relieve those not relieved, without relief. So an easier interpretation of this is... Just as Lama Tsongkhapa's three principal aspects of the path says, the sentient beings are swept by the powerful currents of the four rivers, which refer to the suffering of suffering, from which the vehicles of humans and deities lead you out of this kind of suffering. So the vehicle of humans and deities actually can lead us out of the sufferings of change and the suffering of pain. So that which, but it cannot lead us out of the conditioning suffering. So unless you actually stop the course leading to this third type of suffering, you will not be liberated. And therefore, I will free all beings, living beings who are not freed, refers to this. And then I will relieve those without relief. So those who are not relieved through, I will relieve those who are not relieved through the Mahayana path. And then the last line, I will cause to reach Nirvana those who have not reached it yet. So what this refers to is leading all sentient beings to be free from the subtlest cognitive obscuration to knowledge, the subtlest obscuration to knowledge, which can be only, which is only possible through the highest yoga tantra path. And so, you are saying, I will cause to reach the nirvana, the complete nirvana, those who have not reached it, through the highest yoga tantra, which actually puts an end to this subtlest obscuration to knowledge. So, to make this life of humans. Oi. I'm sorry, I can't hear His Holiness. So to serve all sentient beings and to attain Buddhahood, by taking the first step to this, please repeat these lines. O Masters, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who reside in the 10 directions, please listen to me. By means of my virtuous roots in the nature of generosity, ethics, and meditation, which I, say your name, in this and all other lives cultivated and joined others to cultivate or rejoiced in the cultivation of, I, say your name, will generate the spirit of great, unexalted, perfect enlightenment from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, just as the earlier perfect Buddhas who are Arhats and Tathagatas and the great Bodhisattvas who reside on the high levels generated the spirit of unexalted, perfect enlightenment. This. I will liberate all living beings who are not liberated. I will free all who are not freed. I will relieve those without relief. I will cause to reach the complete nirvana those who have not reached it. Please repeat it for a second time. All Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who reside in the 10 directions, please listen to me. By means of my virtuous deeds in the nature of generosity, ethics, or meditation, which I, say your name, in this and all other lives cultivated and joined others to cultivate or rejoiced in the cultivation of, I, say your name, will generate the spirit of great, unexcelled, perfect enlightenment from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, just as the earlier Buddhas, perfect Buddhas, who are Arhats and Tathagatas, and the great Bodhisattvas who reside on the high levels, generated the spirit of unexcelled, perfect enlightenment. I will liberate all living beings who are not liberated. I will free all living beings who are not freed. I will relieve those without relief. I will cause to reach nirvana those who have not reached it. So, at the end of the third repetition now, of when you say, I will cause to reach the nirvana, or when you say, I will generate the spirit of great, unexcelled, perfect enlightenment. Having generated this bodhicitta, aspiring bodhicitta, then you make the pledge that you will keep it forever. So there may not be people here, perhaps, who say that, oh, it may not be possible for them to keep this kind of pledge to keep the aspiring bodhicitta. In case you feel that you are not courageous enough to keep that pledge, then you will say you could just take or generate bodhicitta. In any case, you will be taking bodhisattva vows later, and therefore, in order to do that, you should have aspiring bodhicitta. So please repeat it for the first time. All Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who reside in the 10 directions, please listen to me. Master, please listen to me. By means of my virtuous deeds in the nature of generosity, ethics, and meditation, which I, say your name, in this and all other lives, cultivated and joined others to cultivate and rejoiced in the cultivation of, I, say your name here, I will generate the spirit of great, unexcelled, perfect enlightenment from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, just as the earlier Buddhas, perfect Buddhas, who are Arhats and Tathagatas, and the Tathagatas, and the great Bodhisattvas who reside on the high levels, generated the spirit of unexcelled, perfect enlightenment. I will liberate all living beings who are not liberated. I will free all living beings who are not freed. I will relieve those without relief. I will cause to reach the complete liberation those who have not reached it yet. Please repeat. May bodhicitta, so with this we have finished with the generation of bodhicitta. As Shantideva's Bodhisattva Charyavatara says, today my life has borne fruit. I have attained an unexcelled human existence. Today I am born into the Buddha's family, and now I have become a Buddha's child. In the Sutra on Ankara, there is mention of certain Buddhas and Bodhisattvas having generated bodhicitta in such and such way. So for us also, by taking part in this ceremony and generating bodhicitta, we are actually setting ourselves onto the path leading from the path of accumulation up to the path of normal learning, as indicated by the Heart Sutra Mantra, tatyata, gate gate para gate para samgat bodhi swaha. So having generated this bodhicitta, you should actually try to preserve it. And if you are about to get angry, you should think that, oh, I have generated bodhicitta, and therefore I should not get angry at others. Remind yourself of this ceremony. And if you are about to deceive somebody, you should not do so by reminding yourself of this. So unless you make some difference in your action, merely by generating it will not help that much. And so on a daily basis, say the verse of taking refuge in bodhicitta, the usual verse, I go for refuge in the until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And by the virtues of virtuous merit created by generosity and so forth, may I attain Buddhahood to benefit all sentient beings. So, having given you this bodhisattva, the generation of bodhicitta, I have gained some merit, and this will, of course, become a cause for my long life as well. And you have also gained much merit by generating bodhicitta, and therefore, as it is said, that those with merit are able to fulfill their goals. And therefore, if you make your prayer for my long life, it will be good. So if you have this book on page 18, the prayer. So I will. So he's saying maybe I should lead the prayer, but then he says, "No, no, no! You are actually making this a long life offering to me. Therefore, you should start saying this prayer." So this is a prayer to the Buddha, which His Holiness wrote in 2005. When all the Tibetans made offering to adding towards an offering, Tibetan public and the government made an offering to the Buddha statue in Bodh Gaya, offering of the crown protrusion made of gold and pure gold, and then robes, monastic robes, to the Buddha statue. So there is a homage to the Buddha, which says that you have completed all the great qualities of wisdom and compassion, and you were praised like a white lotus. And you have shown the path of dependent origination. You have given the teaching of dependent origination, which actually quells the suffering and the origin of suffering of all sentient beings. And therefore, to you, the guide or the leader of the Shakyas, and the guide of all sentient beings, who is like this, the lion of Shakyas, I pay homage touching you with my crown. And then says you have prophesied that your teaching will spread from north to north, which is north from India, Tibet, and just as you have prophesied, the teaching of your teaching has spread all over Tibet, and now it has become an ornament for the whole world, and we are fortunate for that. Despite this, now due to our karma, the Dharma has declined. And as well as the environment, the world and we are in a pathetic situation, and therefore it is time for you to care of us, to take care of us, and therefore we, the Tibetan humans as well as deities, very sincerely make our fervent prayers to you together, and we make offerings of the Tathagata's crown protrusion from a pure gold, and we make offering of the arms bow to you, and also pure, clean, and pure clothes to you. Next, we have the prayer of the 17 Nalanda masters. So, with regard to the 17 Nalanda masters, it was written by myself, and I was quite inspired by their writings, and as I also began talking about the tradition of the Nalanda tradition, therefore, since we have a direct connection with them, studying their texts, we'll say this prayer. This line is a praise to the Buddha for teaching dependent origination. And then the second verse is a homage to Master Nagarjuna, who actually clarified the teaching of the emptiness, meaning of emptiness based on the reasoning of dependent origination. And then next, after that, it's a praise. The next verse is praise to Arya Deva, who is the chief spiritual son of Master Nagarjuna, who has crossed the ocean of one's own and others' traditions, and who actually upheld all the teaching of the Buddha, Nagarjuna. And after him is Buddha Palita, who made clear the Nagarjuna's teaching of the dependent origination in terms of meaning that it is mere, things are merely in name. And then after him comes praise to Bhava Viveka. And next is Chandrakirti, praise to Chandrakirti. And after that, Shandi Deva. And after Shandi Deva, it's a prayer to Chandrakshita. And after Chandrakshita comes a praise to Kamalashila. Kamalashila, after Kamalashila is the prayer to Asanga, and following him is praise to Vasubandhu, and then we have praises to Dignaga, Dhammakirti, Dignaga, Dhammakirti, Vimukti Sena, Haribhadra, Shakya Prabha, Guna Prabha, and Shakya Prabha, and then Master Atisha. So thus, speaking of prayers to these great crowning ornaments of scholars, who are the source of this wisdom, May my mind become spiritually matured and liberated. And by understanding the true truths, may I understand the process of how we are led into samsara and out of samsara through the four noble truths, the four truths of suffering, origin, and cessation, and path. And may the root of liberation be planted within me, and renunciation, and then says, by generating renunciation, which is the freedom from suffering and its origin, and by generating great compassion and the genuine bodhicitta, and through the generation of cultivation of compassion, may I may I master the genuine bodhicitta. So by studying, reflecting on the meaning, and by meditating on the teachings of these great charioteers, the great masters, may I gain certitude in the perfection vehicle as well as Tantrayana, and easily. In all my lifetimes, may I uphold the three trainings. And may I receive teachings on the Dharma, and uphold the teachings and the practices, and like those of the great masters, and may I be able to serve the Dharma like them. May in all the monastic institutions the practices of study, reflection, and practice flourish, and may they beautify this earth. And next, so you, all of you, refer to me as Avalokiteshvara, as if you are actually using some poetical rhetoric. But of course, I'm not Avalokiteshvara, it's not possible. But from the time of the Buddha, since the time of the Buddha, there were great emanations of Avalokiteshvara in India, and particularly in Tibet, Tibet being the special land which to be subdued by Avalokiteshvara. So I was born at a time when Tibet was going through a very critical time. So Avalokiteshvara's emanations, such as the great kings of Tibet, have been there. So I, of course, have this special connection with Avalokiteshvara. So I do not think that I am the reincarnation of the previous Dalai Lamas, but I can say that I have a very special karmic connection with them, and I have many indications of that. So Jindun Drup has written this prayer. He says that for the Tibetans, your kindness has been unmatched. It's referring to the referring to Master Tsongkhapa,
So, the first Dalai Lama makes this prayer to uphold and preserve the tradition of the Lama Tsongkhapa. So I too make the same. I have a close connection with the first Dalai Lama. So Gendun Gyatso, the second Dalai Lama, was the abbot of Sera and Depung and Ganden. Sera and Depung. So according to the Yangpa Church's biography of the second Dalai Lama, he was referred to as the non-sectarian master of the Yellow Hat sect. So the second Dalai Lama's parents, of course, were practitioners of Mahamudra. So he was non-sectarian. He respected all the religious traditions, Buddhist traditions of Tibet, and practiced them. So similarly, I too have respect, wish to serve all the different traditions of Tibet, Buddhist traditions. So by what that means is to actually understand the different teachings of these traditions and also practice them. And through that, I can serve the all the Buddhist traditions of Tibet. And then the fifth Dalai Lama is well known to be non-sectarian, practicing all the different traditions. And has a special connection with the Nyingma tradition. So this will say this prayer. This is a prayer of the different reincarnations of Avalokiteshvara that appeared in India and Tibet. Incarnations or the previous incarnations of the fourth Dalai Lama. So first it goes through the supplication to the Buddha. So it mentions the 36 reincarnations of Avalokiteshvara that appeared in India, and then the reincarnations of Avalokiteshvara who appeared in Tibet, such as those of the Dharma kings, the ten king Dharma kings, and then 17 great scholar adepts. The lines of Dalai Lama, the line of the Dalai Lamas. So the first one amongst the Indian incarnations is said to be Jigden Wangchuk, King Jigden Wang, and then the child Kyu Nangwa and Kyu Sen and Gyebo Chakme, the Prince Chakme, Gundoga and King Hake, Dharma King Gunchokbang, then the Bodhisattva Tebaten and Belsang, Teba Rabten, and the King Lotepel,
Tongchu Godzin and Upasaka Tsumpa, and then the holder of Vinaya Rinchenpel, and then the child Dawa Rinchen, Ningpo, and Pema Lotus, and Usher Champa, Sengeta, Gels Bodhisattva Dechokpel, Prince Dechokpel, and Hai Gelpo. Then there are the Gendun Pel and Porang Raza, Kesarchen, Ribong Tuba, and Gelpo Zuopa, the shepherd, and then Brahman Drinchinch, and then Samden Sangpo, the Chonan Ground Yogi, Solong Gundugyu, and then King Gyabjin, and the Lord, or the leader, Tuklak Jin, Chigil, the Dharma King Gewapel, and then the first amongst the reincarnations of Avalokiteshvara in Tibet is the first king of Tibet. Nyati Temple. And then there are other kings like Esho Lek, Detu, Namshung Zen, and Yong Nyemmeje, Nyemmede, and such Trapung Zen. And then the King Totori Nyenzen, at whose time the Dharma, Buddha Dharma, appeared in Tibet for the first time. And then Songtsen Gampo, during whose time the famous Zhou statue in Lhasa, in Chokang, was invited to Tibet. And also Jo Shakyamuni was also invited at that time, and he started the Tibetan law and script. And then there is Lu Songjie, and then Tisong Detsen. Then Gyawa Drom Tempa, and then Kumari Penchen Pema Wangil, and then the scholar of Nepal, Pedor, and then Kache Gumpawa, and Sajin Kunga Nyingbo, Vajja Master Kunga Nyingbo, and Durgun Yudhapa, and Yasang Chomin, Sumden Yishisung, the Haji Gewabum, and then the Sakya lineage holder, Zumba Dakchen Lodri Gelsen, Rinchen Kendrup, and then the founder of Depung Monastery, Jamyang Chöje, and then
Kumyungwa.
then the line of Dalai Lamas, Gendun Drup, Gendun Gyatso, Senam Gyatso, Yendun Gyatso, and then 50th Dalai Lama, Ngawang Lopsang Gyatso, the 6th Dalai Lama, Tsongyang Gyatso, 7th Dalai Lama, Gyatsang Gyatso, 8th Dalai Lama. Prayer was written by the late Gyabji Trishi Rinpoche. So next we will see the mandala offering. So we'll say a few stanzas as a request prayer. This ground anointed for mandala offering. This is ground. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers and adorned with Mount Meru, four continents and sun and the moon. I imagine as a Buddha land and offer to you. May all beings enjoy this pure land.
Yeah.
divine throne upon the moon. Lotus and moon. May you, Venerable Master, as the field of merit and faith for us, may you remain for 100 eons to flourish the Dharma, for the Dharma to flourish. Source of all benefits and happiness, Chandrasekh, the Lord Chandrasekh in person, Tenzin Gyatso, may you live until the end of samsara. So when Jamyang Khyentse Shogyal Lodru came to Tibet, to Lhasa from Kham, I didn't know this before initially, but there was one monk who was a chant master of Namgyal Monastery, and then he, after 59, he was imprisoned for 18 or 19 years. And after that, he came to India. He escaped, or he came to from Tibet.
Oh, yeah.
So His Holiness is asking which settlement where he was from. He was once working in road building in Kulu region of Himachal Pradesh. He's 84 years old. He's praying for His Holiness to live long. And so when this monk, the chant master, when he came from Tibet, he brought this prayer by Jamyang Khyentse Shogyal Lodge. He told me that when he was in prison in Chinese Gulag, he actually wrote this prayer in his hands, and other prison inmates also were doing this, and they were saying this prayer. And so many of those people who actually suffered under the Chinese, who suffered greatly under the Chinese occupation, made this fervent prayer. So this prayer is very good in terms of its meaning. The prayer for the 14th incarnation of the victorious, supreme, great, omniscient. It's called the sweet melody of immortal nectar. Om Swasti, embodiment of the great loving wisdom of all the victorious ones, gathered into one white like a snow mountain, emanation body of the exalted supreme lord of the world. May the Lama of the three realms, migrators, be victorious. In the three worlds, you are matchless and marvelous, exalted like the Udumwara flower, omniscient one. Great crown and jewel of those who follow the doctrine in this world, supreme victorious lotus holder, please remain firmly with us. Although you have been a real Buddha since the beginning, in these times of conflicts, your hands tightly hold all migrators. Your resolve and promise are as firm as a Vajra, great lord of the 10th stage. Please remain firmly with us. You possess all the understanding of the gradual path to enlightenment, inseparably merged with your three secrets. Your good qualities of knowledge and love are inconceivable, second capable one of the northern direction of the northern land. Please remain firmly with us. You encounter no obstacles in explanation, debate, and composition. Your eight great treasures of confidence are totally unbound. You show the doctrine with perfect individual awareness. Great one, victorious in all the directions, please remain firmly with us. With a wheel of explanation, practice, and activity, you spread the precious doctrine of the victorious Lodzangpa in a hundred directions, confounding the evil opponents, the Mara's elephants. Fearless line of speech, please remain firmly with us. Gradually following the path of secret mantra, the three visions of the three tantras, with the profound yoga of the four power empowerments, you dissolve the four gates. You have directly attained the wisdom of the four bodies, all-pervading, powerful holder of the Vajra. Please remain firmly with us. By the sun of the innate wisdom of non-dual profundity and clarity, Mahamudra, the actual mode of abiding in all of all things, you dispel the darkness of samsara and nirvana. Yogi, great lord, please remain firmly with us. You lead the generous flow of the four maturing and liberating rivers, the treasure of all the secrets of the ocean of tantras, into the fields of those fortunate ones to be subdued. Honor of the holder of secrecy, please remain firmly with us. All phenomena of samsara and nirvana appear as the play of interdependence. Though they appear so, they have been unborn and well pacified from the very beginning. Skillful teacher of the profound middle path, free from all elaborations, lord of the Nagas, please remain firmly with us. The lineage bearer Pundarika, the Kulika Pundarika, the erudite teacher of who perfectly expounded the inseparability of the outer, inner, and other, the alternate color chakra, manifested as a virtuous friend in the country of Tibet, essence of the primordial Buddha, please remain firmly with us. All phenomena of samsara and nirvana are contained in the deep center of the clear light drop. The great perfection is spontaneously devoid of decrease or increase. You have reached the city of the fruit through inaction and self-freedom. All good primordial protector. Please remain firmly with us. In short, you heroically pull your with your hands the great chariots of the Buddha's whole doctrine without confounding them. Sole refuge of the doctrine and all migrators, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, please remain firmly with us. The crown jewel of the great ones in the three worlds, pay homage 100 times with respect and awe to his auspicious wheels of your lotus feet. Great king of the doctrine, please remain firmly with us. Lord of the gods, cutting through the Maras and Asura's power, destroyer of the rocky mountain of bad views and wrong views, with 100-pronged vajra of strength, power and force, fearsome, glorious Heruka, please remain firmly with us. As long as the earth, Mount Meru, the sun and the moon endure in the conceivable mansion of the changing three secrets, the Patala, please do. The Patala pleasing to the Chokmul, please remain firmly and permanently upon the Vajra throne by the blessings of the three supreme immortal deities and by the power of the truth of the Lamas, Yidams, Buddhas, and Bodhisattvas. We ask blessings for the aims thus requested to be accomplished without obstacles. And next, we'll say the prayers of long life written by Dao Rinpoche, and then the long life prayer of His Holiness, written by the two late tutors. And then we'll say the prayer for the flourishing of the Dharma, written by His Holiness, and then the words of truth at the end of the teaching in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Chodhungo-dro-de-la-tob-gyo-je Namya Nyamshin Devar Majoche Keboloye Ombo Nam Tetsu Sunje Denge Nyeze Dungo Namshin Norbo Toba Ye Tobden Chulo Bebe Toden Shok Pamil Dinge Chube Gendu Toden Tintan Tetsan Gomsum Tan Chetsu Tsumso Chedin Gewa
Next is the long life prayer written by Kyabje Rinpoche and Jantshan Rinpoche. Song of immortality, Om Swasti, O Gurus, O our Gurus, and your lines of Lamas, from whom we have the deepest gratitude, for whom we have the deepest gratitude, you who are the repository of the three secrets of innumerable Buddhas, who miraculously manifest according to each devotee's capacity, to you who are the wish-fulfilling gem, the source of all virtues and good qualities. We offer our prayers with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the land of snows, may live for 100 years. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. The Dharma Dhatu, the inexpressible reality which pervades all things like the heavens, immaculate, full of great bliss and transcendental wisdom, manifest like a cloud to the numberless abodes of the higher divinities, the mandalas of the heavenly beings, to all higher forms of divine ones, the yidams. We offer our prayers with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the land of snows, may live for 100 years. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. O you numberless Buddhas of the past, present, and future, who are the masters of the 10 powers and teachers of the gods, whose attributes of perfection, free from defilements, and born of realization, are the source of the Buddha activity, which appears for all time in the ocean of the suffering of the world for the sake of all beings. All sentient beings, we offer our prayers with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, the protector of the land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings for that his aspirations may be fulfilled. O sacred Dharma of the Triyanas, which liberate us from the sufferings of three worlds, supremely calm, the jewel treasure of the fully enlightened ones, without impurities, unchanging, eternally good, this peak of virtues, we offer our prayers with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. All you Arya Sangha, awakened and unsullied, of highest valor in conquering the suffering of the wheel of life with the transcendental wisdom that directly intuits the deeper truth, never departing from the indestructible Vajra abode of the Nirvana, we offer our prayer with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, the product of the land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. O you Darkas and Darkinis, heavenly beings of the three worlds, who appear in the highest paradises, the sacred places, the cremation grounds, who have innumerable experiences of bliss and void, supporting the yogis in their meditation on the excellent path, to you we offer our prayers with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled to the ocean of guardians of the teaching who possess the eye of transcendental wisdom, carrying on your matted locks, the knot symbolic of the vows they made, you made to the Vajra Dhara Buddha, the powerful ones who protect the teaching and upholders of the Dharma. We offer our prayers with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. To all you guileless ones, in whom we take the excellent refuge, we pray with intense devotion, humble from our very heart, that by the strength of these verses, the only protector of the snowland migrators, he who has power over speech, the kindly one, upholder of the Dharma, the great ocean, he who possesses the great secret, three secret powers, may be indestructible, eternal, and without end, that seated on the supreme unconquerable throne of the Vajra, he may live for 100 eons. You who bear the burdens of innumerable Buddhas, with courage carrying on your shoulders the vast activities of the fully enlightened ones, working for the weal of all beings, like the fish fulfilling the well-being of all beings, like the fish fulfilling gem, the jewel of jewels, may your aspirations be perfectly fulfilled by the blessings of the wondrous Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, by the unassailable truths of the spiritual laws of cause and effect, by the unstained power of the pure mind, may the aims of my prayers, our prayers, soon be accomplished. Mandala offering, this land anointed with this ground, anointed with perfumes, strewn with flowers, adorned with my merit, for countenance the sun and the moon, I imagine as a Buddha hand, and offer to you, may all beings enjoy this pure land. Next is the prayer for the flourishing of the non-sectarian Tibetan Buddhist traditions.
Yeah. This is the prayer for the flourishing of all the different sects of the Buddhism, Buddha's teaching in Tibet. Homage to the masters through the contact, the vast contact, and also the profound wisdom emptiness, the great master of Adisha, and may those teachings of Buddha in Tibet flourish. The teachings of Buddha, which is the combination of three baskets of teachings, and which has been condensed into the practice of three different kinds of personalities, and the teachings of the Buddha, which contains the seven qualities, and such a kind of teaching may flourish. The great translator, Mava and Dorje, and so on, and the lineage of blessings, and also the Kagyu traditions, and with irrespective of all the traditions, may the teachings of the Buddha flourish. And next is the prayer for the Nyingma traditions. Is the praise for Lama Tsongkhapa's teachings, which is the combination of the vast contact practices and the profound emptiness practices, which has been combined together, and which has been taught in such a very well manner, so that the devotees are able to practice in very swift manner. So such as these teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa may flourish. The teachings which are prevalent in Tibet, which are the contents, which contains the contents meaning of the three baskets, and also in terms of Vajrayana, the four different, all the kinds of schools, and the order and the nature of all the paths, and which has been shown unmistakably. So in summary, all the 10 different kinds of lineages and the great teachings coming through the two trailblazers, and also the teachings which are very rich, rich with both sutra and tantric practices. So such kind of teachings of the Buddha may flourish. And all the great masters who uphold the teachings of the Buddha may they live for a long life, and also the teachings be spread to all parts of the world. And may all the spirits of entire realm of the space be filled with the practitioners of Dharma. And may all parts of the world, may there be, may the peace prevail, and there won't be any instances of violence. And may the just the name of violence and hatred and anger be eliminated and be vanished from the sphere of the world. And may I also, from now on, be guided by the great masters, and may I be also able to practice the great parts in the teachings shown by these great masters, including about the vast contact and the profound emptiness. And may I be able to practice with listening, concentrating, and through meditating into this great text. And may all the sentient beings be able to attain the state of Buddhahood. And in order to attain the highest form of the Buddhahood, may they be free from the obstacles such as procrastination and laziness. And may they be able to engage in the practice with great aspiration and joy. And my body and my speech and all the my wealth, may I dedicate all this to the benefit for all the sentient beings, and may it become a cause for the generating happiness to all. And may all the sufferings that are existing in this world, may all be a prey on me, and may all these sufferings come to an existence. And may, as long as the space remains and as long as the sentient being remains, may I too remain and with directly or indirectly be able to benefit all the sentient beings. There is a small text here. It appears as the lineage, the praise for the lineage master of Sakya is missing here. I think it's important that we have to make, we have to examine here. I find that the praise for the Sakya tradition masters are missing. There is one sentence or one verse missing between here. I find that it's missing. I have written two stanzas for all the traditions, and here I find that there's five stanzas, five sentences for one verses, and so you must examine, you must check with the originals, and you must check and correct it, otherwise it will be a great mistake that it is printed to a large volume. So still there is about 20 minutes to 11:30. So I think it's clearly there's 15 minutes left. So shall I read from the remaining of the teachings? When the Lam Rim Chimo, the great priest of Bantu Enlightenment, and the page number 100. So here the two Amdas are trying to show some special magic powers. It's okay now. When page number 102, Lam Rim Chemo, the explanation of the process of learning the precepts. The explanation of the process of learning the precepts of two parts, how to train in the Mahayana in general, and how to train specifically in the Vajrayana, how to train in the Mahayana in general. The explanation of how to train in the Mahayana in generation is three sections. Establishing the desire to learn the precepts of the spirit of enlightenment in the discipline of individual liberation in Tantra. I think it's not right. Maybe make a mistake. I think I followed the Reddit yesterday. I've already read that yesterday. So actually the English translation text is correct. Explanation of the process of learning the precept. The explanation of the process of learning the precept of two parts, how to train the Mayana in general and how to train specifically in the Vajrayana. How to train in the Mayana in general, establishing the desire to learn the precepts of the spirit of enlightenment, taking the vows of conqueror's children after establishing the desire to learn the precepts, how to train after taking the vows. Establishing the desire to learn the precepts of the spirit of enlightenment in the discipline of individual liberation and in Tantra, it is inappropriate to study the precepts before you have first taken the vows. But these bodhisattva vows are different. First, you understand the precepts well, and then after you are training them, you have an enthusiasm for taking them beyond. The text is existing in Tibetan translation. It's about six volumes. But in Chinese translation, I think it's even more volumes. So in future, we may have to examine these translations. And Mamo here refers to the Bodhisattva levels, composed, written by Asanga. In this regard, the Bodhisattva level says, for persons wanting to take the ethical discipline vows of a Bodhisattva, you must first make known and advance the fundamental precepts and the source of all of Bodhisattva stored here in the summary of Bodhisattva fundamentals for the Bodhisattva scriptural collection of the discourses. If after sincere investigation and intelligent analysis these persons are inspired, and if it is not because of being made to do it by someone else, and it is not to compete with others, then know that these are reliable bodhisattvas. This person should be given the vows of ethical discipline and should receive them in accord with the ritual. This is a very good method because if you understand the precepts, bring them to mind, establish a wish to train in them from the depths of your heart, then take the vows and you will be extremely constant. And from here, taking the vows of the conqueror children after establishing the desire to learn the precepts. I've already established in detail in my basic Patra Awakening commentary on the Bodhisattva's levels chapter on ethical discipline. First, how to take the Bodhisattva vows. Immediately after that, how to guard against fundamental transgressions and transgressions which constitute minor infractions, and then how to repair vows if they degenerate. It is most definitely necessary that you read this before you take the vows to understand them from there. How to train after the taking of vows is three. What the precepts are based upon, they are limitless clear categorizations, but if you arrange the Bodhisattva precepts by type, you can include them all within the six perfections. The six perfections are thus great condensation of all the key points of the Bodhisattva path. The four ways to gather disciples, generosity, pleasant speech, working at aims, and consistency of behavior are also included within the six perfections as follows. That generosity is included as obvious. A pleasant speech is giving instructions to disciple, taking the six perfection as the point of departure. Working at aims is establishing others in the aim of the instructions, and the consistency of behavior is practicing just as the disciple does. We are on page 104, how all the precepts are included in six perfections. A discussion of the main topic, the fixed number of perfections. The Bhagavan formulated a bare outline of the six perfections and holy religion to produce certain knowledge of these by explicating it in accord with Buddha's intended meaning, the key points of the rationale for formulating the perfections in that fashion. This explanation showed that there is a fixed number of perfections. When you are convinced of this and astonished by it, you will understand the practice of six perfections as the supreme instruction, so obtain such conviction. The discussion of the main topic, the fixed number of perfections as six parts, the fixed number of perfection based on high status, based on fulfilling the two aims, based on perfecting the complete fulfillment of others' aim, based on their self-summing the entire Mayana, in terms of completeness of the paths or methods, based on three trainings, the fixed number of perfection based on high status, to fully complete the greatly effective bodhisattva deeds, you need an immeasurably long succession of lifetimes. Moreover, to attain quick success on the path within these lifetimes, you need a life excellent in every aspect. Our present life is not excellent in every aspect, but rather has only some of the aspects of full excellence. If we do not make progress with it, though we practice the teachings, you need a life that has four kinds of excellence: resources to use, a body with which you act, companions together with whom you act, a work that you are able to accomplish once undertaken, since in many cases these kinds of excellences alone may themselves become condition for afflictions, you must not fall under the control of afflictions. As just the four kinds of excellences are not sufficient, you must also distinguish well in regard to what to adopt and what to cast aside, precisely what things to do and to stop doing. Otherwise, just as a bamboo or a plantain tree dies after giving fruit, or a mule dies with pregnancy, you will be destroyed by the four excellences. The wise understand how they seek the four excellences. Control of their afflictions and the knowledge of what to adopt and what to cast aside are the results of earlier virtuous actions, and they strive again and steadily increasing their causes. The unwise use the result of their earlier accumulations of the virtue and exhaust them. As they do not increase them anew, they reach the brink of their future suffering. When you again produce these seeds in future lives, their production will not be causeless or from discordant causes, but rather from concordant causes that are perfections. Fixed as six in number, therefore in this lifetime you must repeatedly habituate yourself to constant reliance on the six perfections, because the superiority of the effect is commensurate to the superiority of the causes. A life with the four excellences constitute temporary high status, whereas the ultimate high status, which consists of ultimate excellences of Bodhi, etc., exists as the Buddha level. Thus the ornament for the Mahayana Sutra says, high status possessed of excellent resources and body, excellent companions and undertakings, not going under the power of afflictions and never being mistaken and activated. The first number of perfections based on fulfilling the two aims, when someone in such a life of high status learns the Bodhisattva deeds, these activities are comprehensively categorized as two, those which fulfill your own aim and those which fulfill the aim of others. Therefore, there is a fixed number of perfections based on fulfilling the two aims. To fulfill the aims of others, you must first help them with material goods, since no benefit will come from generosity accompanied by harmfulness towards living beings. You need ethical discipline, which is a great purpose of others, in that it is the state of desisting from harm to others and causes of such harm. To bring this to its full development, and also need patience that disregards the harm done to you, or if you are impatient with harm and retaliate a time or two, you will not attain pure ethical discipline. When you do not retaliate because of your patience, you prevent others from accumulating a great amount of sin and bring them to virtue by inspiring them with your patience. So this practice has a great purpose for others. You attain your own aim, the bliss of liberation, through the power of wisdom. Since you will not attain this with a distracted mind, you must set your mind in meditative equipoise by means of meditative stabilization, obtaining a mental serviceability wherein you intentionally set your attention on any object of meditation. Since a lazy person does not produce this unit, joyous perseverance day and night that never slackens. So this is the basis of the other perfections. For accomplishing the two aims, then the number of perfections is fixed as six. The ornament for the Mahayana Sutra says, those who strive for the aims of beings, work at giving non-harm and patience, when completely fulfill their own aims, with stabilization and liberation together with their basis. In this six, there is no complete fulfillment of others' aims. The mention of stabilization and liberation differentiates between the two as the stabilization of the mind on the object of meditation, this being the imprint of the meditative stabilization, and the liberation from silent existence, this being the imprint of wisdom. Notice that this does not mistake meditative serenity for insight. As this is so, those who assert that the meditation of fixing one's attention in the absence of conceptual thought is meditation on the profound, or speaking of a meditation that is a single portion of meditative stabilization, that is one of the six perfections. You must attain certain knowledge of the six perfections in their entirety. The fixed number of perfections based on perfecting the complete fulfillment of other aims. You first relieve others' poverty by giving away material goods, then you do no harm by any living being. In addition, are patient with harm done to you. Without becoming dispirited, you joyously persevere at helping those who harm you. You depend on. And here the wisdom refers to the wisdom which comprehends the no-selfness on the phenomenons. Through relieving others' poverty, not harming them, being patient with their harm, not being dispirited with what they do, delighting them and speaking well to them, you fulfill others' aims, which fulfills your own. This verse, together with the one Abu, says that it is not possible to fulfill others and your aims without relying on the six perfections. Once you are certain about the way in which you fulfill your own and others' aims through the six perfections, you will have respect for the practice of them. The fixed number of perfection based on there is subsuming the entire Mayana. You are indifferent to resources because you are not attached to those you have and do not pursue those you lack. Page number 108. The fixed number of perfection in terms of completeness of paths or methods. The path that is a method for not being attached to the resources that are your possession is generosity. Because you become free from attachment to your things but become habituated to giving them away. The method for restraining yourself from the distraction of trying to possess what you do not possess is ethical discipline. For you, when you maintain a monk's vows, you do not have all the distractions of making a living. The method for not abandoning living beings is patience, because you do not despair at the suffering caused by harm others inflict. The method to increase virtues is joyous perseverance, because you increase them when you joyously persevere at what you undertake. The methods for clearing away obscurations are the final two perfections, because meditative stabilization clears away the afflictions and wisdom clears away the cognitive obscurations. Thus, the perfections are fixed as six in number, the ornament for Mayana Sutra states. Non-attachment to object is a path, another is restraint from the distraction of obtaining them, not abandoning beings, increasing virtues, and clearing away the obscurations are others. Page number 109. The fixed number of perfections based on three trainings, the nature of page number 109, second last paragraph. Furthermore, there are two causes of non-initially transcending arising about silent existence: attachment to resources and attachment to a home. The remedies for this are generosity and ethical discipline, respectively. You may rise above this attachment once still turned back without reaching the end. There are two causes of this suffering: from the wrongdoing of living beings and becoming dispirited at the length of time you have pursued virtue. The remedies for this are patience and joyous perseverance, respectively. Once you understand how to sustain a disregard for all sufferings and harm, as well as an enthusiasm which views even an eternity as though it were one day, you must practice them in various ways. If you do this, you will produce the patience and joyous perseverance that are capable of functioning as remedies to what causes you to turn back. Thus, they are extremely crucial. Never mind the matter of the Bodhisattva days, even with regard to present cultivation of virtue, there are many who start out, but few who do not turn back after a while, because the forbearance for the slightest hardship is tiny and their enthusiasm for the path they cultivate is tepid. This is the result of their not putting into practice the personal instructions associated with patience and joyous perseverance. There are two causes for letting your virtue go to waste, even if you do not turn back after a while. Distraction, wherein your attention does not stabilize on the virtuous object of meditation, and faulty wisdom. The remedies for this are meditative stabilization and wisdom, respectively. Meditative stabilization is a remedy because it is said that even virtuous practices such as repetition of mantra and daily recitations are senseless if your attention wanders elsewhere. Wisdom is a remedy because if you fail to develop the wisdom that fully delineates a topic in collections of the Buddhist knowledge, you will be mistaken about what to adopt and what to cast aside, even the obvious, and will then contact yourself wrongly. This fixes a number of perfections. There are six in terms of there being remedies that eliminate the class of phenomena that are incompatible with virtue. The number of perfections is fixed at six based on the fact that they are a foundation for achieving every quality of a Buddha. So we're on page number 111. Let's stop here for a while. It's a mantle offering to thanking Master for giving us the great teaching. In a quick way, I will repeat the announcement once again. The teachings will begin at Drepung Losaling Prayer Hall tomorrow morning at the same time. Seat reservations at Drepung Losaling Prayer Hall will open tonight at approximately 7 p.m. The foreigner